Our Lord warns us of the danger of avarice or of greed. We hear of this man who comes before him demanding that he intervene in an inheritance dispute. First, notice how Jesus calls the man friend, as if to refocus the relationship on what matters first, the person, and not simply what one gets from another. But then Christ goes on to warn against greed. As you know, in our Catholic tradition, there are the seven deadly sins, which are the root of all sin. Among them are anger and gluttony and lust, sloth, pride, envy, and lastly, greed. Greed is the disordered attachment and love of money, comfort, and pleasure. Scripture says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Of course, we have to get that right. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but that the love of money is the root of all evil. Christ then goes on to tell a parable of a man who was blessed with great crops, and because of that, he built even larger barns to store in the crops. Now, it's not the enjoyment of these goods that get condemned at the end of the parable, but the disordered attachment to the wealth. What is implied is that the man stored up his goods with no intention at all of sharing that with others. He had a greedy heart. Now, let's be clear. Christ is not championing a communist doctrine, as so many today claim. The church has always and consistently and very clearly condemned communism in the strongest terms. It doesn't matter what America Magazine says, one cannot be a Catholic and be a communist. One has only to read the social encyclicals of Pope Pius IX, Leo XIII, and John Paul II to see the consistent condemnation of this ideology. So Christ is not championing an idea of wealth redistribution. Rather, our Lord is saying that amounting riches in this world will not make us rich in what matters to God. He's calling us to be detached from wealth, to move away from the spirit of the world that says you need that Porsche and that house in Telluride and all those amazing steak dinners at Elway's, which over time begin to shape our heart and form it in a spirit of greed. Catholic social teaching affirms that God has given us the right innate to own private property and to save so as to live a good life while demanding that everything that goes beyond what we truly need to live a good life for ourselves and our family should be given to the poor. And that perhaps is the greater challenge. Perhaps it should be added, though, that while our giving doesn't need to cause us to live in squalor and poverty and misery, it should cause us to sacrifice and to give of our means to the point where it affects us. Now, monks and religious take vows of poverty to model lives detached from worldly things. And while you and I may not have made vows to live poverty, we are nonetheless called by the gospel to live in a spirit of detachment so as to hold our hearts close to God and to the things that truly matter. Tithing, of course, is part of this. And the biblical principle of tithing stands, that we are to give 10% of our income to God. Now, what we choose to do with that tithing can be discerned. Some people choose to give 5% to the parish and to take the other 5% and to give it to religious communities and Catholic charities and other secular charities. And that is fine, so long as the secular charities do not support values contrary to the gospel. As Catholics, we cannot give to organizations that support abortion or that promote the LGBT agenda or anything else that's contrary to biblical morality, because that would be formal cooperation in evil and would be a serious, grave sin. But the art of tithing and of giving sacrificially is a remedy to the spirit of greed. It causes our hearts to open up to deeper generosity. And as Scripture says, God loves the cheerful giver. This man with his big barns decided that he wanted to eat, drink, and be merry. He ignored the plight of the poor and the vulnerable and those who needed assistance. It reminds me of the gospel that we'll hear at the end of the month of August of the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man dined sumptuously while Lazarus laid at his door, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And we saw that God in his justice reversed the roles in eternity, because the rich man went to hell for all eternity, whereas Lazarus went to heaven. It wasn't his riches that sent the man to hell. It was his heart that refused to be open to his neighbor. And this man too is condemned by Christ, as if to warn us that we must let our hearts become detached from our money and from all that causes us to simply seek comfort. Now today the church celebrates the feast of St. John Marie Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests. St. John Vianney lived in the time after the French Revolution, which had killed many priests and nuns and devout Catholics. He grew up in a family that secretly harbored priests in their home so that their village could have mass in the middle of the night, lest they be found out by the authorities and the priest arrested and killed and the laity put in prison. He spent his life as a priest in Ars, France, which is in the middle of nowhere. And when he arrived to his parish, no one went to mass. And so he set up shop in the church and spent continuous time in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, begging for the conversion of the souls of his parishioners. And from there he went out to visit the sick and to catechize the youth. And over time, through these simple practices of prayer, visiting the sick, and catechizing the youth with the doctrines of the faith, he was able to convert the entire village. He was able to get the entire village to begin to come to daily mass, to pray the daily rosary, and to frequent the sacrament of confession. In fact, within 10 years of him being the parish priest, it was discovered that he had a gift of reading souls, that when people would come to the confessional to confess their sins, he knew details about their lives that there was no way for him to know except if God himself had revealed it. And so tens of thousands of pilgrims would come on trains to have the holy priest hear their confession. Can you imagine? They wanted their sins to be known by God so much that they wanted to go to this priest who could read souls, to have total trust in God's love and in the power of his mercy. On his way to Ars, he got lost, and he found this young boy walking, and he asked him, "Can you show me the way to Ars?" And the young boy pointed the way, "You go on this road." And he told him, "You have shown me the way to Ars. Now I will show you the way to heaven." It was his detachment from the world. This priest lived in complete poverty. Everything he had, he gave to the poor. The only thing he insisted that should be fine and expensive were the things that were used for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. When he went to buy vestments, he made sure that they were the most beautiful, gold, with gold thread. Because he said the things of God deserve to be beautiful. But when it came to himself, everything he had was given away. And it was his witness of detachment from the world and from the spirit of greed, combined with his heart of prayer and penance, that was able to convert so many souls. In fact, the devil is on record of saying, if I had 10 priests of his caliber in this world, my entire kingdom would be destroyed. So in a special way, I ask this weekend, besides being challenged to detach ourselves from a spirit of greed and be generous in tithing to God, I ask that on this feast of the patron of parish priests, that you would pray for the priests of the church, that our hearts would remain detached from the spirit of this world. Because it's the spirit of the world that keeps us in fear of saying the things that need to be said. It's the spirit of the world that tells us we'd rather have ratings and high collections and mass versus handing on faithfully the Catholic and apostolic faith. What the church needs today is more priests like St. John Vianney to be strengthened in holiness. So I ask, grab your beads this week and pray your rosary for the sanctification of priests. Because if we storm heaven, Our Lady will always answer. Because never has it been known that anyone who fled to her protection or implored her intercession was left unaided. She is the mother of priests, and she desires to see her son's church rebuilt. A church that is not seeking a place in this world. A church that is not seeking to accommodate itself to greed. But a church that desires the conversion of sinners. A church that can bring the healing power of the gospel to souls, to a culture wounded and in need of God's love and grace and truth. So this week, let us commence Operation Storm Heaven. Let us take our spiritual weapon in our hands and call upon the name of the Lord. For those who call upon his name will be saved. St. John Marie Vianney, pray for us, and praise be Jesus Christ.